Hello, it's Wednesday, July 29th here in Tel Aviv. I'm David Matlin, filling in for Laura. This is Israel in 10, and here's the Misgav Daily Brief. In neighboring Jordan, the army says it intercepted and downed 5 Iranian ballistic missiles overnight as fighting between Tehran and Washington resumed following a brief pause since the weekend. Now, Jordan was targeted last week, where American service members were killed in strikes on U.S. military positions, and in this case, the U.S. said the missiles fired by Iran were again targeting its forces in Jordan, but had been intercepted. And Iraq's popular mobilization forces, the large paramilitary groups supported by and loyal to Iran, they say a number of their official headquarters in different parts of Iraq were attacked today by what they claimed were U.S. and Saudi strikes. The initial reports indicate that several people were killed, others wounded there with damage to a number of structures and facilities. Saudi Arabia and the United States confirmed the joint strikes, which the U.S. said were launched in response to Iranian guard-directed attacks on U.S. forces and Saudi energy infrastructure in recent days. Since the shaky ceasefire was declared Friday, Tehran had largely ceased to strike from its own territory, while its proxies in Yemen and Iraq kept up attacks. But overnight, that equation appears to no longer hold. With the regional tensions simmering and war in the background, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited the White House Tuesday for his first face-to-face talks with U.S. President Donald Trump since the Iran war began in late February. Now, the Prime Minister emerged from the Oval Office, described their meeting as excellent and one of the best we've ever had, in his words. The White House also declared the talks productive and positive. But unlike previous high-profile meetings between the two leaders, this one took on a distinct business air and took place behind closed doors in the Oval Office, and with reporters not invited in, no press conference afterwards. Netanyahu entered the White House through a side entrance. He left some 90 minutes later. The meetings there with their respective delegations, the 7th between the leaders since Trump's return to office in 2025. But as we'll discuss more today with our guest, this meeting came amid reports of strained ties between these two leaders, with President Trump expressing his annoyance at Netanyahu just before the meeting, and with top U.S. officials reportedly frustrated that Prime Minister Netanyahu's predictions about how the war would play out, and the conflict continues to simmer without any end in sight. However, Prime Minister Netanyahu was quick to put down any suggestions that he and the president were on bad terms, saying shortly after the meeting it was, quote, full cooperation with mutual support, with understandings on the joint goal that Iran won't have nuclear weapons and also other goals. He went even further to say, quote, it was one of the best conversations I've had with our friend, U.S. President Trump, and an opportunity to exchange ideas and also to coordinate on things that are important for the security and for the future of Israel. We'll discuss that positive aspect. But before we get to today's conversation, a reminder, you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's the veteran political analyst, Gil Hoffman. Gil, thanks for being with us. This is a big moment. The Prime Minister of Israel back at the White House again. But I want to paint the picture a bit of the tone going into this. President Trump has made these comments that Israel wouldn't exist if I weren't president. He gave a series of what felt like testy statements before the meeting yesterday in terms of pickaxe mountain intelligence. He didn't need Netanyahu. He was frustrated. He said, no one will tell me who to sell the F-35s to when it comes to Turkey. Things that Netanyahu has protested recently. But this is the 7th meeting between these two at the White House since President Trump came back in office. Was this another action plan, meeting, or was this something else?
David, you've got a very uninformed audience here, and they know that this meeting was very different than the other 7 that there have been with President Trump since he came back to the White House. All those other meetings were real meetings. They were one-on-one. The last meeting in February, one-on-one, but then with the head of the Mossad, who came and brought operational plans that they approved for attacking Iran. You don't approve operational plans when you have a room full of more than 30 people. The Americans had all their top officials there. Netanyahu brought his entire team, and they never end up leaving the room. You had their 28 men and 3 women, Carolyn Glick, Carolyn Leavitt, and the new public affairs director at head, Tzipi Chotovelli. That's not the way you have a productive meeting. And so it was for niceties. Netanyahu wanted to come to the funeral. Netanyahu wanted to also score political points. and that he didn't.
And I think you're spot on in terms of recognizing the delegation, the type of meeting they had. It speaks volumes to, this feels a little more like some sort of diplomatic encounter versus a real planning meeting. So I want to bring up Lindsey Graham. You mentioned, you know, he's there for the funeral of Senator Lindsey Graham, obviously, who's been a hawk on the issue of Iran. Graham was quoted saying, hey, he can't retire until he, you know, gets Russia out of Ukraine, defeats the IRGC in Iran, and creates a Saudi-Israel normalization. So we all know he was in our wing on a lot of important issues. Who picks up that mantle, Gil?
Absolutely. It's very hard to lose a great friend like him at such a sensitive time when we don't have as many friends as we used to. And, you know, his old friends, John McCain and Joe Lieberman, are no longer with us, too. And we need friends. Susan Collins in Maine is very important. She's the head of appropriations, and she carries a voice as a moderate Republican who's not pro-Trump. And she has an important race coming up. And there are many others that we can be very appreciative of in both parties. Obviously, Senator Fetterman in Pennsylvania is someone who guarantees that relationship continues to be bipartisan. And let's not forget, part of the legacy of Lindsey Graham is not only him being a security hawk, but he also helped the Abraham Accords move forward. I know this being a very important issue for this particular audience and this particular organization. And he intended to bring about peace between Israel and Saudi Arabia very quickly, and that was moving full speed ahead before October 7th. And that's the kind of thing that'll improve Israel's image. I don't know if it would happen before our election here and before your election in America, but it's out there.
But bringing up the elections, I think that's an important point to touch on. Both countries, the U.S. and Israel, having these pivotal elections this fall. And a lot's been said about the differing positions of these two politicians right now, Netanyahu and Trump, who have their own interests. How can they reconcile right now in this moment? Do you think that was a point of discussion here in terms of Netanyahu seemingly needing some form of further escalation and accomplishment on the battlefield? President Trump arguably needing this thing to be sidelined until the midterms. Where do they reconcile?
I think it's fascinating that Trump and Netanyahu had actual opposite goals in this meeting. Trump actually needed to distance himself from Netanyahu, who's very unpopular in the United States right now, and get some kind of commitment from him that was the Israeli commitment to allow construction in Gaza without Hamas being disarmed, which was a major concession on Netanyahu's part. So Trump showed that he's in charge, that Netanyahu doesn't twist his arm. Whereas what Netanyahu needed was to be seen as close to the president of the United States. And I don't think he got that. He wasn't treated very special. He got this meeting squeezed in between Zelensky and a funeral. He doesn't look like he's essential and irreplaceable and in another league, as his former campaign slogan suggested.
Do you think Netanyahu now comes home, I mean, in short, Gil, with that sort of damage to repair? Or is this still something you think he'll be touting, you know, as the campaign is ongoing here, as the political campaigns?
Well, Netanyahu is brilliant politically. He can, on the one hand, say that he can talk to world leaders the way no other leader can. And on the other hand, say that he can stand up to them more than any other Israeli leader can. So if there's bad relations, he benefits. And if there's good relations, he benefits. And what Netanyahu needs is some kind of strategic success between now and the election. And it's looking less and less likely that there'll be another American incursion into Iran. The closer we get to the election in the United States, I don't see any big peace agreement being signed over the next 3 months. So it is what it is. But you know what, David? That's not the last meeting between Netanyahu and Trump before the election in Israel. Netanyahu is coming back in September. And if Mamdani doesn't find a way to, if not arrest him, put him under some siege there in the island that the Statue of Liberty is on before he gets to New York, there will be a meeting.
Stay tuned for that. Obviously, right, a lot to happen from now till then. Look, Gil Hoffman, thanks for being with us.
Pleasure being with you, David.
That's all for Israel in 10 on Misgav's Daily Brief. Thanks for joining us. Again, I'm David Matlin, filling in for Laura. And remember, you can follow us and subscribe at the link below.